Hello, everyone, and welcome to the JW Show. My name is Joshua Washington, Director of Institute for Black Solidarity with Israel. And today I have a very special guest with me. She's an advocate. She's just a brilliant person in general. We're going to get into some stuff. She's taking on a new venture that we're going to talk about today. All the way from Israel, I have Ms. Ashagar Arabo. Ashagar, thanks for being here with us.
Hello.
To start off, let us know, Ashagar, what is it that you do?
So I co-founded with my aunt Beta. Beta, it's in my house in Amharic. And the idea of Under Displaced is to create the heritage center for Ethiopian Jews to reclaim our story and tell our story in our own way, where we emphasize our heroes, the people that work so hard in order to build the Ethiopian Jewish community, and tell the story, the ancient story of Ethiopian Jews, because separately from any other Jewish community worldwide, the Ethiopian Jewish community is very, very unique. And the uniqueness comes from the fact that they didn't know about the Jewish world. They didn't know there's like a larger Jewish world existed out there. And we want to tell the story and give respect to the people who brought us here, who were able to educate people, because we truly believe that by education and getting people closer to each other, we're able to create a change.
Wow. And you said that the Ethiopian Jewish community, it's important because they didn't know much. They didn't know that there was a wider Jewish world. What do you mean by that? How did they not know?
There's like a couple of stories about how it becomes that there's Jewish people in Ethiopia. But one of the main like stories will be about after the collapse of the first temple, the community, the tribe of Dan have wandered to Egypt, and from Egypt they wandered to Kush, what we know today as the modern Ethiopia, and they separate from the Jewish tribe very early on. So a lot of the things that we know about Judaism, the big Judaism revolution, didn't happen in Ethiopia, because they were living their life thinking they are the last descendants of Judaism. And that is a very important understanding, because that is why when you talk about with Ethiopian Jews, they are more traditional in their way of thinking. They are very religious. Most of them will be religious or have some kind of affiliation towards religious, because it's something that we were grown up to from like very early age. And the idea of Israel, not even Israel, Jerusalem, the Bible, was very important and very strong in our community.
Wow. That's awesome. And so first of all, congratulations on launching this. I know that this is a kind of a recent thing that just got off the ground. Why are you passionate about this? Why is this so important in the broader conversation in Israel?
So I'm saying it's not only in Israel. When we talked about like why we want to build it, the first thing was to put our story out there. There's a lot of people who don't know about the existence of Ethiopian Jews. They don't understand the diversity of the tribe of the Judaism. Jews don't look one certain way. Jews look different colors, different shapes. There's so many diversity in our community that people don't realize and understand. And the second thing that we want to create is inside the conversation in Israel, that people knows our story, the struggle that Jews have gone through, Ethiopian Jews specifically, in order to keep their Jewish identity, and how important it was for them being Jewish, coming to Israel, coming to Jerusalem. Their story is so unique and powerful, and I believe it ought to be told. Because once you know person, once you know their history, it's easier to relate, easier to understand where they come from.
Right. That's powerful. And what is it that pushed you to get this going? Like, what was your, why are you so passionate about this, Ashagar?
It's a very good question. but I think a lot of times the story of my people, the Ethiopian people, the Jewish people, is not being told correctly or being used in a way that fits to one ideology or another. And I wanted to build a place that will focus on education, will focus on getting people to know each other, just like one-on-one connection, have complex conversation and not anything, because a lot of today everything is about soundbite and how things is heard and what has been presented. And I wanted to build a place there. The conversation will be more complex and more thoughtful in some sense.
So I know that you also travel a lot and you speak and you do a lot of advocacy for Israel and sometimes on very hostile college campuses. Is there a connection between what you do in speaking and traveling and what you're doing now with the Heritage Center?
Yeah, because I think both of them is education of folks. So focused. Because when you talk about Israel advocacy, or not even advocacy, just to tell the story, the real story of Israel. Because a lot of time people tell the story of Israel in their perspective without even being here. I never like put a step here in Israel, and they continue to present like story is not correct. And my aim is to talk to people and to tell them about the real Israel, the real facts on the ground. And right. When I talk about that, it's related directly to what I'm doing right now with the center. That the work of the center is about talking to people and telling them the real story of Ethiopian Jews. I see the connection, because for me, when people talk about Zionism as racism or Zionism is like is this or that, that is upsets me personally, because I understand the story of Zionism. I understand what is the story of people that have been down and been mistreated and burned alive. And despite that, they build a state, they call for self-determination. That is a story that everyone's supposed to be inspired from. Not to talk to this term as something that is less of or something that has any negative thoughts.
Right, right. Wow. Shager, and can you tell me some of your personal story? You're obviously you're an Israeli, Ethiopian, and how you as an Ethiopian Israeli see Israel and how, you know, because we hear a lot of things about, you know, unfortunately, the anti-Zionists they'll cite Ethiopian Jews as a source for them to say that, you know, Israel is racist, but oftentimes it doesn't seem like they actually talk to any Ethiopian Jews. And so I really want to hear from you about what your experience is in Israel as a black, you know, as a black Israeli, essentially.
Yeah, so I hear a lot of those things, and I think Ethiopian Israelis in general, and we in general, need to be careful about who we talk to and how our story is being used. Mm. Is there issues in Israel? 100%. There is issues of racism. There is issues of over-policing. There is issues of police violence. Those issues are still exist. And those issues, unfortunately, exist in a lot of modern countries. And Israel is not different. Putting the spotlight only in Israel and calling it a racist country just because of those issues and not talking to your own country at the same term is hypocrisy. And I don't like when people use our struggle and our pain and our problems inside the country in order to, not because they care about me, not because they care about my community or my people, just because they want to dish my country. Because those people speaking now, they won't speak about terrorism in Israel. Because if they care about Israel or Ethiopian lives, they will talk about terrorism. They will talk about the issues that Israel face. But they only use those issues in order to talk about Israel in certain ways, not because they care about our communities. I acknowledge the fact there is a lot of work to be done in Israel, in the government. There's a lot of work to be done. But I hate when people use those issues to promote their own ideology of anti-Israel.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. And that's wow, yeah, that's I know that can be angering and infuriating. How do you, when you're faced with these kind of people who like I said, maybe have never really talked to an Ethiopian Jew before, and you're standing in front of them and you tell them, actually, no, I'm from Israel, and I love Israel and it's not what you're saying it is. What kind of what do you say to them when you're faced with them, and how do they respond to you usually?
I think like just me being in a lot of those places set the precedent in the way that we didn't realize that not all Jews are white. And like only that for them, like people want to acknowledge that I'm Jewish, want to acknowledge that I'm Israeli. And then there's like this second of like, oh, you're just like, you don't know what you're talking about, whatever. You only talk about it because someone is paying you. And I'm like, okay, you understand that what you're saying. If I was a white man talking about like pro-Israel advocacy or Israel and as a country, you would never doubt my reasoning. You will never talk about, oh, he's talking like that because someone is paying him. Just because I'm a black Ethiopian Israeli, you assume I don't know what I'm talking about. You assume someone put words in my mind that I'm not intelligent enough to create my own opinions, to craft my own knowledge. And this is racism, just by the way you think.
Right.
You diminish me and my abilities. And I present that, and I'm putting the mirror. I put the mirror, and I say, "Why would you talk to me like that? Why would you say that? Why my opinion is not valid?
Right.
You wouldn't create that in anyone else, and they don't have answers because they see their own hypocrisy."
Right, right. Wow, wow. No, absolutely. I mean, we appreciate the work that you do too. It's very powerful. And we want you to keep doing it. We are going to take a short break. We'll be right back in just a moment. You all don't go anywhere.
Where the mouse going? I think I landed on reality young. Got a sip of happiness, then I was drowning my tongue. But the aftertaste is sour when you down on your luck. I've been in and out the roundabout of powerful love. Tried the 9 to 5 1,000 times, it always ends the same. I can't work that night, I got a show, but when am I getting paid? If she sells seashells, then when will my CD sell? So I can get a plot of land or dollar in the Dreamville. Money isn't everything, but it can fix a lot of things. How was someone supposed to start a family off of pocket change? I gotta say, if you get a profit, don't let your conscience change. Cause when you let it jump around, then you're in for a house of pain. Don't think that if you got M's, living's better. The difference in momentary and monetary's a single letter.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the JW Show. Once again, I'm Joshua Washington, and I have Ashagir Araro here with me. Thank you so much for being here again, Ashagir. I really appreciate it. Ashagir, can you please, we're curious, and I want to know how you or how your family wound up coming to Israel. We know about the story in large, like generally how the Ethiopian Jews came to Israel, but what about your family specifically?
So my family came in Operation Solomon in 91. Something is very interesting. And the name Ashagir, it's Amharic. Amharic is the official language of the Ethiopian people. And the translation of my name is going forward from something bad to something good. And the reason my name is Ashagir, because I was born in my family journey to Israel. I was born and my family was living in Gondar, which was a small, now it's a city, but back then it was a small village that mainly were Ethiopian Jews. And they walked from Gondar to Addis Ababa. They had like a journey there. And I was born in the journey. And my family said my birth is a sign from God saying like they should continue their journey. This is their good sign.
Wow.
And they view Ethiopia as something bad that happened to them and Israel as something good. So Ashagir is going forward.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. That's really powerful. My goodness. And how do you feel in the work that you do, do you feel like this also this mandate or like responsibility to do what you're doing now because of that?
I feel like because I was born in Ethiopia, but I came out when I was very young.
Yeah.
So I don't remember a lot of Ethiopia, but I grew up in a very Ethiopian household, meaning I spoke Amharic, I ate Ethiopian food, listened to Ethiopian music, everything surrounding me was Ethiopian. So I felt Ethiopia and I felt Israel. And I, growing up, I understood what my family and my history, people have gone through in order to be, for me to be where I am. And I understood that I couldn't take it for like granted. I need to do something big. I need to, I always, in everything that I would do in my life, I always think about how do I honor my family, how I honor my heritage, my grandparents, and because my life could be totally different.
Right.
It could be a totally different. I live in a very different life. And because I have this gratitude to my community, to my country. So doing what I do in terms of advocacy or tell the story, I don't even talk about advocacy. It's more about telling your personal story and let people understand what they want to understand from there. But I feel like it's need to be done. And when I tell the story of Ethiopian Jews, I'm very proud because I know these people have sacrificed their life in order for me to have the life that I'm living right now. So the least that I can do is honor them by telling their story, building a space that's dedicated for them.
Right, right. Wow. That is very powerful. That's very powerful, Shagird. Can you... Just while in that same vein, because I want you to tell me more about the Ethiopian Israeli Heritage Center. Where is it now? When exactly did you guys get started, and how is it going?
So the idea was always there. And we said, like, one day we'll do it. And then, like, as things change in Israel society, and there's a lot of issues with the Ethiopian Jewish community, we're looking for a way to connect. I always say there is different ways of protesting. There is a protest where you go out of the streets and you put a sign, and there is protesters who will go after this like big promotion or to create like more representation. And there is protest of education, and this is my kind of protest.
Wow.
That putting my story in line with every other story, making sure that every group, every school, everyone needs to come to my place. So this is my protest, sharing and from a powerful standpoint, like talking about eating Ethiopian food, listen to the music, all the place from up to down is built from Ethiopian artists, or Ethiopian providers. Wow. Everything is made by Ethiopian. Why? Because I want to put them on the spot. Listen, give them like the spot, like the major. So this is that we want to do it. We built it very, very quickly. 3 months was crazy, and we were like self-funded, as everything that you do by yourself is very scary. And it's my first business, hope it's not my last. And we opened, and only a month and a half, and we had over 600 people coming.
Wow.
Different groups from all over the world. The United States, you have birth rate groups, you have like politicians, we have like Israelis, schools, we have everyone, like people from the public sector and the private sector, people who want to learn.
Right.
Because I truly believe that people want to learn. They need to have the right attitude. They need to have the right space. But if you build the place, they will come. And that's what we saw.
Absolutely.
Which is amazing.
Wow. That's incredible. And so go ahead.
I know. So something that I'm very proud, like when you build something, now we have like a little bit of break, and we went through all the groups, and we figured out what was working good, what wasn't work, what we want to change, what we want to improve. And one of the things is one room that I really wanted to improve. I felt like it's good, but I wanted to be like excellent. I wanted to be like up there. And I knew I couldn't afford myself any, like, cause it's, as I said, it's self-funded. I couldn't afford myself to continue to invest in the space. So I decided to do a fundraising. And I said, like, I needed $3,000. And I said it will take me, like, a month because I don't know a lot of people and I'm not sure I'm able to do it. In less of 2 days, in two days, I had all the money.
Wow.
In 2 days. In 2 days, which is amazing for me.
Yeah.
It shows like this is a proof that people want that.
Right.
They believe in that. They want to support that. And when people talk to me about different sides of Israel, this is the side I choose to see. These are the people that is my community. This is my people.
Right.
And also we had an amazing support from people from the United States and people follow me on Twitter. You should follow me on Twitter.
And what's your handle?
It's just amazing. It's Ashagir Araro.
It's just your name.
Just connected.
First name,
yeah,
last
connected.
Name. Okay, connected.
Yeah, the name Ashagir is not taken by anyone.
Surprisingly, I don't know.
Yeah, surprisingly, I know.
That's awesome. I mean, what you do is not only... People not only want it, but they need it. There's a need for it. Is there a website or something that we can go to see and support you all too?
So we have a Facebook, and now in the end of the week, we're going to have our website up so I can send you and you can...
Perfect. I'll put it up so our viewers can see it. Absolutely.
That is great. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, Ashagir. Wow. No, this is... It's protests of education. I love that. That is so perfect, because that sounds like that's exactly what you all are doing. What are your plans for 2020? Do you guys have, or should I say, it's not 2020 though. In Israel, it's what, 57, 81, right? what are your plans for this new year?
I feel like this year is going to be full of adventures and possibilities, and I'm willing to take every opportunity and every adventure in order to make our society a better place. Like I see, like, this is the first time for me to own a business, and I see the challenge, and it's so hard and they're so stressful, and in the time we were just building it, every morning you wake up and it's like, okay, what is wrong now? Like, what?
Right.
Tell me what is wrong.
Right.
What
right.
I need to fix. Like, and when you see the place is built and you understand the potential and you see people coming in and you see the light, like in their eyes, suddenly, oh, cool. I didn't know. I see the possibilities of education and changing and a connection. And this is what I want to focus in 2020. The people and just bringing people closer to each other.
Wow. Yeah. No, and we're right there behind you. I mean, it's something that apparently not only is it needed, but it's not common enough. And we want you to do well. In regards to the center... What are your hopes as far as the demographic of people that you want to reach the most? Is there, is it just everyone, or like you really want, you know, is it something that you really want people from other countries to really grasp, or within Israeli society? Like what's your biggest, like where, what is your heart's desire when it comes to who this reaches?
it's like you asking a question that we had so many debates on. So many debates about target audience. What is your target audience?
Right.
And understanding between people who bring you money and people who it's important for you to bring them.
Right.
It's like there was like a big conversation, like a long conversation. Because like, in potential, I would want to just like school and military people who can come and learn, like as the youngest you get. I had this, like in the center, we had they were 7-8 years old, like 7 and 8 years old. And we had a very like fun conversation and explained like very briefly about the history, but you open their eyes about something they didn't know. And they don't have Ethiopian in their, like, in their classroom. They understand the history. You just like from, and I think as young as you get, this is better, because you more exposed, you teach them tolerance, then understand like how you accept someone is different.
Right.
This is amazing for me. And then you have people who are in like politics or in like in business, like in very high positions.
Right.
You want them there because you understand they will make the changes. They will be the people who actually has the power to determine if it's in the workplace or in politics in general.
Right.
And you want them also, yeah?
Right,
so,
right.
And then you have like, you want Jewish people, non-Jewish people who want to learn about the community. Because in the end of the day, my goal is to put our story in line with everyone's story. Like if you know about the story of Ashkenazi Jews or Moroccan Jews or Yemen Jews, I want you to know my story too, because it's valid and it's in the same line for me.
The
and
same
the
thread.
Way I built it, exactly the way I build it is by bringing people from different backgrounds. So
right.
The answer to your question, very, very long answer, is everyone.
Everybody. Yeah. Every single person is the target audience.
I just story of like very a lot of debating about who is the target audience.
Right. I mean, it's important, but this really does. I mean, there's importance in all of it. You got to start them young because there's a lot of information and you want them to grow up knowing this stuff and to argue,
exactly. You
know, and then, like you said, they're movers and shakers in the business world and all that. I mean, that's really awesome. No, that's incredible. That's absolutely incredible. What if I can ask, what have, as far as the debates have been going, do you all agree on the target audience being everybody, or is there still some, we're still trying to figure that out?
We're still trying to figure it out because in the month and a half, I had different groups and different background.
Yeah.
And when you talk in front of a group, you feel them.
Right.
You feel how they respond to you.
Right.
And then you can, exactly. And then you understand, okay, the young people respond better because they're more open-minded. They want to know. So the month and a half actually helped me to better specific, the order of the people that I want. But I won't tell you, I have the percentage of everything. I hope that, in a couple of months when we have that, I will be able to tell you exactly. Right now, the answer is, everyone.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's awesome. That's incredible.
Yeah. Thank you.
No, yeah, that's absolutely incredible. Shagird, I want to thank you again for sharing this with us. This is very valuable, and we hope to it'd be awesome to do a video session with you and actually go to the center and see some of the stuff, because I'm just picturing it in my head, but I would love to be there and see the stuff that's there, what you guys have.
Of course. We would love to host you.
That'd be awesome. That'd be incredible. Is there anything else you would like to tell us about the center? I'm very fascinated by it, and I know our listeners are too.
This is just beautiful. I really what we do there, it's not like a museum when you come and you have someone speaking to you or whatever and you have 2 hours and you go. The way we decided to educate people is through culture. So as I said, everything is about Ethiopian culture. So you have arts all over of Ethiopian culture, and we flew to Ethiopia to bring traditional Ethiopian art.
Right.
And then when you go there, you see the combination between the old art and the new art the young Ethiopian are making, how it's still connected, how young Ethiopian who never been in Ethiopia even are still are infected by the art of our ancestors, which is beautiful. And then you have a room that it's tells a story in a technological way, and you can have an iPad and you have different experience in the center, and you eat Ethiopian food, and I teach you Ethiopian dance, and you listen to Ethiopian music. So it's everything, every sense you have,
right?
And trying to do it in a very interactive way, and not just someone speaking to you, to have everything, to eat, to dance, and listen to music, to see the art. I think it's amazing.
That is amazing. And I
remember, but I'm biased, so I'm not sure.
Maybe a little bit, huh?
A little bit. I'm not sure, but I have a tendency for this.
No, it's beautiful. And I remember you said earlier that you feel Ethiopia, even though you don't remember being there, and you feel Israel because obviously you grew up in Israel. And just hearing you say that the Ethiopian artists and the artwork that they do, I think it's just a powerful imagery that they still feel Ethiopia, even though obviously you're very much Israeli, and that's how you see yourself. There's still a connection that's there, and I think fused with their Israeli side, you know.
Exactly. And you can see it in their artwork. You can absolutely see it in the artwork, the combination between the past, the Israeli, everything is there.
Wow.
Which is amazing.
Wow. That's incredible. Wow.
And by the way, in what we do, one of our one of our rooms, we have a gallery, art gallery. And the reason we decided to open an art gallery, because we said we want to give young Ethiopian artists a space to sell the product.
Oh, wow.
So if after people finishing their tour, they go to get the gallery and they can support local artists.
That is beautiful.
So that's one of the, yeah. So we give the platform for young Ethiopian artists to just to tell their story and sell their artwork and just build their name, give them their first shot.
That's not only is that beautiful. I mean that. So I'm a little biased myself because I'm an artist too, and in the music space, and that's just something that I think in this country too is very much needed. It just platforms for young artists to put their work out. That's beautiful.
So that's one of our aims to do that. Just that's open awesome. People to new avenues. Yeah.
Absolutely. Ashagar, thank you so much. We're coming up to the end of the interview, but I just want to ask you if there's one thought that you could leave us with, and by us I mean a lot of our listeners right now are in the U.S. There's some in different parts of the world, but a lot of us are here in the U.S. What is this? What is that one thought that you could leave us with?
I think that connection can change the world, and our responsibility is try to connect with as many people as we can. Meaning, even if you hear a story about Israel or Ethiopian Jews, or I don't know, try to connect with someone who actually lives there, actually experienced their history, actually experienced what is going on the ground. Mm. It's very easy to judge according to what you see in the media or what you hear from your friends.
Right.
But once you connect to someone who's there, you are able to see the real picture.
Wow.
And I think once we will work more about connection and less about judging and less about what you think, we are able to change the society and the way we interact with each other.
Wow. And I think in this day and age, there's like no excuse because of social media, even especially like it's so easy to connect with people across the world.
Exactly. I have like questions. In different times or political atmospheres, people like just send me a question. Hey, what's the deal with that? Like, what is going on with that?
Absolutely.
And I appreciate that. And I will answer that because I understand like people need a context. They need a context of what is going on because a lot of time it's confusing.
Right. Absolutely. Wow. That's powerful. I love that. Connections can change the world. That's perfect. Thank you so much. Well, Ashagar, I want to thank you again. Thank you so much for being here with us and sharing.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. We really appreciate it. And we wish you well on this journey.
We hope it continues
to grow. And you guys just touch millions and millions of people. We wish you well.
Amen. Amen to that.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And thank you all so much for listening. Again, this is the JW Show. I'm Joshua Washington, Director of Institute for Black Solidarity with Israel, and I'm signing off.